Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, depending on your location. Welcome to the show, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are talking about, what are we talking about?
Astral takeoff.
I just wrote down the topic and it escaped my mind. Well, I've not been getting very good sleep, so that's my excuse.
That has to do with astral takeoff.
Well, I've been having a lot of astral journeys despite the poor sleep. So I don't know, maybe that's contributing to a lesser quality of sleep. They say when you get REM sleep, it's not the deepest, is it?
No.
Deeper sleep is dreamless, I think.
Yeah. Usually when you're dreaming, the dreams are very short. You can dream hundreds of dreams. But when you're first waking up are the ones you remember. So even if they occur late at night, you remember them because you're in a you're kind of in a limbo state, in other words.
Right.
Your faculties aren't totally shut down in terms of awareness. But it's just like you kind of picture it like a theater. The lights dim, the lights get dimmer, 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 especially in the old-fashioned theaters. Then when the lights are really dark, the screen opens because the projector, the light images and the reflection, everything, it needs that darkness for crystal clarity. So you can think of it as falling into sleep, but it's a process. And the clarity has to do with the stage of sleep you're at. And then your mind starts to unravel. Our topic is astral
takeoff, which is more about the launching into the astral realm and how you prepare than, you know, the actual
journey. when you're going into the astral world during sleep, your soul is going. And if your soul is burdened with karma, you're liable to, in the astral realm, experience some of those lifetime experiences where the karma was first produced. And yes, the characters can become more or less contemporary characters. So you're meeting people or seeing people you know in a dream, and there seems to be a lot of turmoil going on. But the plot line, has an extension cord
where it's not what's currently going on. There's different data
from another
lifetime.
So your soul is actually leaving the physical world, the physical stage, and diving into a deep pool of energy wherein there are past life experiences where your soul literally goes back to confront issues or revisit situations. And it can leave you very exhausted when you wake up, tired. I mean, not all the dreams are going to be devastating or concerning, you know, ominous and all that. Some of them are going to be quite delightful because our past lives are not always composed of tragedy. Even if there is karma, there's good karma as well. But the way to prepare yourself, and we're going to get to our callers now, the way you prepare yourself is to be conscious of the journey you're about to take. When you go to sleep, you think you're going to sleep and slumber and it's going to be fine. Well, the fact of the matter is we have dreams. So sleep is just not a somber state. It can be, it's a theater. It's a theater of events that are preconceived from your mind and soul.
Okay, let's bring on our caller. Hi, 703.
Hi. Hold on.
Hi.
Hi, it's Andrea. How are you guys?
Fine, Andrea. How are you?
Good. I want to let you know that you were right when we talked a couple weeks about my new job, because of the shutdown and the fingerprints and all that, that I actually got the call last week to start my new job.
So you're moving forward with that?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Especially after the week that I've had. Yeah, especially after the week that I had at work and my father, it's definitely going to be a better move for me.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I told you last time, my father just died.
No, you did not.
Yeah,
so
he died, thank you, like 2 weeks ago on Thursday. I've had a flight to California. So
no,
I just got back yesterday.
I think you last called the middle of January, so I think it must have happened afterward.
Yep, the 24th.
Wow. Well, yeah, so you called before that. Was it unexpected or?
No, he had lung cancer, and I kind of knew he wasn't doing well. My sister said come out and never made it, and then unfortunately passed away. And everything works out for the best, and things happen for a reason, because I was supposed to go back to work on Monday with my job, but my boss was very offended that I didn't personally tell her I resigned myself, that I left a letter on my computer, that she said, don't bother coming back. I'll pay for the rest of the month. Don't come back. I'm like, all right, fine.
Oh, wait, she told you not to come back, but she would pay you anyway? She would pay you anyway for this?
She was very offended that I didn't personally tell her I resigned.
Well, at least she's paying you. That's no issue then. Then you get a few weeks free vacation.
Nope.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And
so,
when
you know,
start,
not only, I start not this Monday, but the 18th and next Monday, 2 weeks Monday.
All right.
Yeah. So everything happens for the way it's supposed to.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. But it sounds like for you, everything's working out with the job situation.
Absolutely.
Did you have a specific question today?
No, I just want to let you know that you guys were, right on when you said, a couple weeks my job would start and or something. So I just want to let you know that you were just absolutely correct.
We really appreciate you calling in and validating that. It's nice to receive validations on the air.
Yeah.
And we wish you a lot of luck in your new position. And sorry about that.
Thank you. Yeah, it gets better. But I mean, he's good life. He's 87, so.
87? Yeah, that's a long life. And how long was he sick?
Yeah. I would say almost really kind of the last 10, 12 years, really, a long time. So he was supposed to have passed away 2011 when I went to California last time. But he lived 7 more years, so.
Wow.
That's the way I look at it. Yeah.
80 years old and then 7 more plus. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What part of California?
Well, he was living with my brother in Lake Elsinore, which is almost to San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's cold there. I got really sick on Sunday with this really awful cold and, time change for me and just, being drained. So, it was not good.
What state are you in? You're on the East Coast,
I'm in
right?
Virginia. I'm in Virginia. Yeah.
But it's colder there than it is in California. I mean, we're in California, but Lake Elsinore, I guess.
Oh, no, it was cold. It was cold, and then it had snow in the mountains. And unfortunately, they had that accident, with the plane that crashed down on Super Bowl Sunday.
On the house, into the house?
Yes, I was right there. Yep, I was
You're kidding.
No, we passed right by there. We couldn't figure what the smoke was, and then... the plane up crashing on the house, killing 4 people and the pilot.
Yeah, that was really
sad.
Awful. And they say that the pilot claimed to be a retired police officer, but now they're finding that he falsified his identification and that he wasn't actually, didn't have the credentials he said he did.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't
so
know
it's,
that.
Yeah. Dangerous. Dangerous. Be careful when you're flying. I guess it was a private plane. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Anything
yeah,
you want to say, Neil? Poor Neil's just sitting here. All
no,
along.
No, I'm just listening. I'm glad. I'm sorry about your father, but 87 is a good age. My mom passed
yeah.
away from lung cancer at 83. So,
oh,
and, sorry. 87 is a good age. And so you're starting your new job. What kind of job is it?
I'm going to be working for the Department of Transportation, the government, as an admin.
Okay.
I guess there are a lot of those jobs in your area, huh?
Yes, quite a few of them. Yeah, because I'm right in 45 minutes from D.C., so yes, tons
yeah.
of those jobs out here.
Well, good.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
But my family is begging me to come back to California. So, you know what? This might be time for a good change, you know, and I just need a job out there first before I go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you validated
yeah.
our predictions and things.
Yep.
If that's it, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you,
You're
Andrea.
Welcome. Have a great rest of the day.
Oh, you too. And remember to like our page if you haven't already.
I did. Yep. No, I already did. We're already good.
Yay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. So we're talking about astral journey. So, you know, going back to past life, I mean, that's not always what occurs. I mean, so many things can happen in dreams. So, you know, including encountering people or spirits that you've never encountered. You know, when you start to journey in the astral realm, there's all kinds of situations that occur.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this as soon as you... Well, before you even leave your body, your soul is preparing for the journey. And your when we say soul, it's composed of your astral body. So and why does that happen? Well, it's a sort of natural response. Why do we go for walks? Why do we let our pets out at night, you know, to go outside? Why do we step outside of our normal environment for any given reason? The soul and the astral body they're confined in the physical body. It's not a natural habitation for the soul or the astral body to be in the physical body. It's a necessity because of karma. So the karma is the encasing, but there's a the composition of the soul, the astral body, it has to be let out.
But
it has to receive that environment. It's like letting cows out to pasture. It has to be let out.
But can we differentiate between psychological dreams and actually an astral dream? I mean, because I believe in a psychological dream, you can go into past lives, really, or at least some kind of scenario regarding, you know, your current life and how it might be connected to a past life that you
yeah.
had.
Well, I mean, what can we draw in analogies between a psychological dream and a dream outside of the body? Well, let's look at crude examples. What's the difference between a movie and a documentary? They're both filmed, but one is truth, and it's has a different, potentially a narration. There is some plot, but a lot of it's composed of footage and dialoguing with talking heads and things like that. It's a documentary. That's a reason why it's called a documentary as opposed to just a fictitious movie. A dream inside your head can be fictitious. Look at it as the fictitious energy and the documentary as the journey of the soul. That would be one example of the difference between the energies. Sometimes the soul, the astral body, isn't released from the body. It's just not able, for whatever reasons, it doesn't leave the body. So what happens is that the sleeping form, the person in their brain, takes over the dream world and then just has a psychological dream where virtually a psychological dream is virtually your own consciousness in sleeping form. It's your thoughts in sleeping form. It has nothing to do with your soul or spirit.
If we're talking about an average person, you know, someone, you know, a neighbor or, you know, just someone you encounter in daily life that isn't connected to psychic energy, doesn't really have an interest in it, how often is that person on average, do you think, actually releasing the soul into the astral realm?
Just as much as anybody else. I mean, they may not be aware that they're having...
They probably don't have the recall to. I mean, as
they could,
frequently.
They would think it was a freaky dream. There are ways for an interpreter. I mean, that's why we have interpreters of dreams, because interpreters of dreams are supposed to be able to logically conclude whether the dream is psychological or whether it is astral. There are some signs to an astral dream in that form of takeoff. You feel like you're flying. You're driving
you're
in
traveling.
A car. You're traveling somewhere. You're moving out. Those are good signs that it's an astral dream. If you just have a dream, well, I dreamed I was talking. I dreamed I was in this classroom. I don't know how I got there, but I was in this classroom, and I was talking to my friend, and blah, blah, blah. We were talking and kind of fighting. And then you say, well, do you know where this classroom is? Yeah, I do know the classroom. I teach there. And I was actually having a fight with somebody, a fellow teacher. That's a sure sign it was psychological. You're working out a psychological dream. What happens is that our overload during the day is too much for us to handle.
Right, so the brain processes
it. So the brain goes at night and starts to work out immediate situations. But when you're having a dream where you're talking to people you
don't know, that's like
strange, you're traveling, you feel like you're traveling, those are signs that you're perceiving the journey of your astral body, leaving your body, and then going to any
given place in the
astral
realm.
And those regions are sometimes regions we can't even define. I mean, we could theoretically draw in our car, and in our peripheral vision, we're looking at the scenery on the side, things that we're not really familiar with, you know, shrubbery, trees, different buildings that we're not really familiar with, but our minds and our eyes collect the images as we're driving down the freeway. That very experience can be incorporated into a dream, wherein in the dream, you're experiencing a sense of traveling. Now, that's where it can get confusing, because the idea of traveling, like let's say on a freeway or on a road, that can be processed in your mind and filtered out again in a dream. And it's just a psychological dream because you didn't have time to process it all in the waking state. So that's when it gets a little tricky in terms of whether it's an astral journey or just a psychological journey. What you have to do in a situation like that
you have to analyze the content more deeply too, because, I mean, don't you agree that there's going to be, if it's an astral dream, there's going to be signs that it's an astral dream versus a psychological dream. For instance, if you're traveling in a car with someone you know, that might be versus someone you don't know that you've never met before, that might be the factor that differentiates.
The main thing is if you can retain where you're traveling to. And if you retain where you're traveling to and the idea becomes a little bit extraordinary, meaning it's other than ordinary, there's a good indication that you have entered the astral realm and that you were in a landscape or in an environment that is totally made up of astral energy, which can have the components of past life situations.
On the same token, in an astral dream, there can be components of the everyday life that filter in, but you're in an astral realm. I mean,
sure, because past lives have those components in it.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. And is there any purpose to it? The specific purpose is that in a psychological dream, you're just having a psychological dream. It's just stream of consciousness. In a astral dream, you're trying to fix something. You're revisiting something. you're repeating something. There's something that the soul has to get a hold of because the body, the available body, is not dealing with it. So the soul has to be released from the body to get to the more specifics of its crisis or its unresolved issues. So the soul leaves the body, and sometimes what the soul will do is it will try to correct or deal with something from a past life. So when it comes back into the body, it has actually benefited the experience of the body in the current life because it has removed some baggage. So there are advantages to that. And that's why people should keep a dream diary, and because ultimately there might be a way to interpret some of those dreams.
But the soul is not always leaving the body to correct something necessarily when it's having an astral dream. Sometimes it's just, conversing with souls on the astral plane.
Yeah.
I have a lot of dreams where, typically lately it's dreams with people I don't know. So I know I'm going to maybe areas of the lower astral realm. The other night I was like in a realm where I was being taunted by really kind of...
You can have demons and stuff.
Demons and
lower
spirits.
Energies, but there's a
collective... Or people, like I've had people or souls, trying to seek help in the astral realm. So, it's not only a correction of past life. Why your soul is going to release itself into the astral realm. There's various reasons. And as you're progressing on a journey of, on a journey of developing the third eye, the encounters that you have aren't going to be limited to just past lives.
Right. You can go into a collective soul classroom where other souls are in the classroom with you, and you're given instructions as to how to work out some of the issues of the past lives before you re-enter back into the physical body. So there are collective soul classrooms too.
Collective soul classrooms. Okay, 347 area code and then 310. Awesome calls. Hello.
Hi, I just tuned in for the first time, so I'm just listening.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll put you on mute.
Unless
you want a reading, but you can just listen if you like.
I would like a reading if it's possible. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We can give you a reading. What's your name?
Nelda Gonzalez.
How do you spell that?
Nelda.
Don't give us your
like
whole
Nancy.
Name.
Oh, okay.
N-E-L-D-A?
N-I-L-D-A.
N-I-L-D-A. Okay, Nelda. All right. Mm-hmm. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York City, the Bronx.
Okay. And what's your birth date?
11/11/60.
60. 20 equals 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's your first time calling the show. Do you have a specific question?
No, not at this time. No.
You don't? You just want a general reading?
Yes. Well,
okay.
My question is my health.
Oh, you want to talk about your health?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Okay.
What do you see with that?
Mm-hmm. You're 58 years old, correct?
Yes.
58 years old. You have such a young sounding voice.
Yes. They tell me that a lot.
Do you hear that a lot? Well, you haven't called our show before, and we work off the birth date as a code. Your karmic number is 20, and your master number is 2. And it's kind of interesting because her karmic number is broken up in her month and day. The 11 in your month and the 11 in your day is equal to your master number 2. And in 1980, you would have had 1980-81, there would have been a change. So I know that's kind of ways to go back, but was there a change or something that happened at that time, maybe a move or something with a relationship?
Yes, I had gotten married in 80 and then I got divorced like 6.5 years after that.
Okay, so you got married. What year did you get married?
82,
but you got engaged. You got engaged in 80.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that and then 2 years later, master
two
numbers
years,
two.
Yeah, her master numbers two.
So how many years was your marriage? 3 or 4 years, what'd you say?
Yeah, four.
Four, yeah. So that's your master number is two, so it goes in increments of two.
And the sum of your month and day, 1, 1, 1, 1, is four. So it's equal to, the duration of your marriage is equal to the sum of your month and day. And mm-hmm. obviously it was a karmic relationship that you were able to move out of. Are you in a relationship now or are you single?
I'm single. I'm hoping somewhere along the line someone comes in.
Okay, but you have some health problems?
Yeah.
You're specific. You know, see, in the air energy of your life, you have three areas of concern. One is your root chakra, which would be in your lower body zone, and not to mention your female
reproductive
zone. And then mm-hmm. moving upward, it goes to the heart, to the brain. So I know we're covering a large area, and there might be some exhaustion problems. You know, like people have lupus or
chronic fatigue.
But mm-hmm. are any of these suggestions dependable to your sense of validation?
Yes, all of them actually validates it.
Yeah, so what's happening, you see, we come into the world with all this karma. And some mm-hmm. of it's not just rooted in this lifetime. We come in with it. So it comes in with it. All of a sudden, it starts immediately in your household. Mm-hmm. You have a chaotic household, chaotic family. You know, mm-hmm. and that. The serenity and the harmony of the home is not established. And so you have chaos. And then that mm-hmm. gets incorporated into the body, and this is all part of the process. And then there might have been some physicality in your life. Maybe you took dancing or something. But you were a runner or something. But there was some sense of physicality, which also had some disturbing aspects on your nervous and muscular system. So mm-hmm. what was your level of activity growing up?
Well, I've always been very active, but being a mom and I was working in the school cafeteria. I've worked for the rectory in the church. I've done various jobs, corporate America. And the area that would have been really affected was the hips. I have replacements on both hips.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And then I have multiple revisions, and I'm due for two more, which I'm buying time because I don't have bone and cartilage enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is matching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is pretty much matching the area.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, the your whatever you have to do medically speaking,
mm-hmm.
it's going
mm-hmm.
to be enhanced. We would suggest you do some really concentrated levels of deep breathing, because oxygen to these areas is going to enhance, and you probably have short breath.
Yeah.
Your breath is short breath.
You know
not
what?
A deep breather.
It's mm-hmm. and I've noticed lately online that there are like oxygen cans you can buy. You can actually buy oxygen, like portable little oxygen cans, and use them. And they're supposed to be, you know, I mean, obviously oxygen is very renewing and so on and so forth. So you might want to look into that. We had a reading with someone where we suggested oxygen bars, but then now, I mean, you know, because they have places where you can get oxygen, but they actually are selling it to, you know, the general public. And it's relatively inexpensive.
Okay.
And then in your life, you know, that there was a definitive two children, but I'm picking up somewhere up in obscurity a third child. So how many children, first of all, do you have?
I have two daughters. I had raised two boys at one time. I had them for like 6 years. And now I'm back to my two daughters and a grandchild.
That's the third.
So there's the third. So
mm-hmm.
we have two children, and I said in somewhere obscurity a third. So that's your grandchild. So right now, you know, we have other callers, so our readings are limited to about 5-6 minutes.
Sure, of course.
But,
of course.
We're saying that, you know, you have some impending problems coming up, but you really don't minimize the idea of breath. And what I mean is you have to go into a classical sense of breath. You just can't say, well, I'm going to take a deep breath. You really have to study it. You go online and study how breath enhances health. But we're talking about concentrated study breath. And also there's somebody named Leonard or Larry or Leonard or something with an L, Laura. I don't know. It's an L name.
Yeah.
And does that ring a bell anywhere?
Leah, that's my granddaughter.
Ah.
Oh, Leah.
That's it.
Yeah. So I don't know. We don't have a lot of time. You can always call us back or you can do something privately in a reading. But you're always welcome to call back.
And noisy there. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and my windows are closed. And
wow.
That's a fire truck passing by. Isn't that something? Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. Lastly, were there any caregivers or nurses or anybody in your family background going back?
Yes, most of the women in my family, all caretakers and givers, and some of them as well, worked as home attendants and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we figured out enough validations for the time being.
Okay. So, yes, of course.
That helped.
Okay. Thank you so much. Put me on ears, and I'll just keep listening to the show, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And Nilda can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And there's also a new page, Neil Baker Psychic. Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic. Oh, wow, I forgot I was on the show for a moment. And that is on Facebook. That account can be found via our link to our main Facebook page. Okay. So 310, would you like to, let's ask. 310, do you want to speak with us?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. This is also my first time calling. I'm calling from California, Los Angeles.
Hi.
And hello there. Nice to meet you guys. I was listening to you right now. I'm kind of nervous. I'd
be really
calling,
mean. So you should be nervous.
Yeah, I am. I'm nervous that I don't even know how to ask what I'm going to ask. But
okay, that's okay. Well, let's get your name first. Let's start with the easy stuff.
Okay, my name's Bernice.
B-R-N-E-I-C-E?
Yeah, V as in Victor. V-E-R-E-N-I-C-E.
V-R-E-N. Bernice.
Yeah.
Okay. B-R-E-N-I-C-E?
Yes.
Those are two unique names. The last caller, too, had a unique name.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Okay, and your birth date?
10/25/85.
Okay. I wrote down 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, and 13. She's a 6.
Mm.
No, 31/4. Oh, okay. And you have a question, it sounds like, and you're nervous to ask about it.
Yes, because I wouldn't know how to ask, but it's just something happened in 2016 with my love life, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a love life back.
Well, what happened? I mean, you know, what happened? Just tell
us what happened.
Wait.
Bernice, before you begin,
that was 30. She was 31. That's when she turned 31.
Yeah, you were 31. That was your karma change. But was there ever in your life anybody involved in alcohol or driving, having accidents, anything like that, anywhere in your background?
Yes.
So that's the first note I want to get out before you started giving us more details. So we have to consider that as a validation, and now you can go on. And if that ties into validate, if that validation ties into your storyline, go ahead and share that too.
Yes, I know my ex was drinking a lot.
Okay.
At that time.
What's his birthday?
He's a August 5th, 83. August 5th, and is it, I don't remember if it's 81 or 83. I think it's 83. I'm going to go with 83.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that may, I mean, it makes a difference if you don't know the date. But anyway, according to that, he would be
just go with
34/7. Okay, so go ahead and give us a little bit more information about the breakup and what happened that's disturbing you so much about moving forward with a relationship.
Yeah, that part. I was with him for 10 years on and off. And in 2016, he was supposed to move in with me. And I was too busy working. He wasn't working at that time. I didn't really have time to, like, you know, be spying on him or be checking on him if he was lying or not. Long story short, he did not end up moving in with me. I ended up finding out. I ended up seeing things for myself. Things weren't the way he was making it seem. And
in what regard?
I found out I ended up not going to work one day, and I found out there was a girl living with him. He claimed it was just a friend. I don't buy that story.
Mm-hmm.
There were just a lot of things that he was doing behind my back that I saw with my own eyes, and he kept on trying to tell me, contradict what I was saying that what I was seeing isn't what I was seeing. He was just like, no, it's not how you're making it seem. And I'm like, no, it is what it is. He'll disappear. He'll not answer my calls during certain times. And I was already suspecting something else. And he kept on saying it wasn't what I was thinking. Long story short, we broke up. It was hard on me because I've known him for 10 years, and he changed in 2016, like, changed. I'm talking about 90 degrees change. I didn't even know him anymore. And until this day, I think he was cheating, and broke up, long story short, and ever since then, me and him haven't talked or nothing. He did contact me earlier this year to tell me Happy New Year's. That's about it. But I was kind of surprised because I haven't talked to him since 2016. So it's been 3 years.
So, I mean, you haven't dated or anything, or have you dated a little bit, or have there been any other men besides him since
that
happened?
Yeah, that's the thing. I've tried so hard, but nothing chemistry is happening with other men. Like, it's just like friends, it's just like whatever, I don't know. It's not happening.
I mean, well, it sounds like you haven't totally let go of the relationship. I mean, that's kind of what I am hearing. I don't know if that's true. And I know it's hard to meet people. I mean, we know many people that are struggling with finding a connection, you know. But a couple things about the birth dates. One, his 8/5 and his month and day is your year. And actually that sum of 8/5 is equal to your inverted karmic number 13. So, I mean, you guys have a karmic, it's a past life connection. You know, in terms of, and then the 10, your 10/5 is his month. I mean, 10/5 equals 8. That's his month. Your years are interchangeable, and your 8 to his 3 becomes his year. His 8 to your 5 becomes your year. So it's an intense connection, but I personally wouldn't recommend, you know, he contacted you. I would move on for sure and start to let go of the relationship, because whatever ties or whatever you're holding on to, I think is preventing someone new from coming in. But Neil might have a different
No, I agree with you.
Opinion.
I mean, you see, you have this karmic tie with him. So it's devastating that to think that in 10 years, don't forget that's your month, that this would pick up. But you see, the fellow was karma. He came in because of a past life. And the decision he made in this lifetime, he sort of broke a contract. The contract being that you two would come back to the earth, you'd go through karma together, and then once karma was reached and resolved, there would be another reformation of your life with him, and you'd go on and get married. Well, he decided to cop out of that. And he did so by deceit, cheating, things like that. It didn't have to be, but he broke the contract. You're devastated because you expected this to be a lifetime relationship. So what you're holding on to is the original contract you had with him made in the astral realm, if you will, that you two would be together for the rest of your lives. But it didn't happen that way. And so he left you severely damaged, hurt. And you're not finding anybody because you're still holding the contract in your hand that you're really thinking about him and wanting him. And what you really have to do, it's been 3 years, but you really have to do is let go of it. Just let go of it.
Yeah, well,
and say, I'm ready.
I've been dating, yeah. But like I said, there's no connection with me and other guys. Like,
well, it's
I don't
happen.
Feel any chemistry.
No. Where? No, I know. I get it. I get that part. But it's number one, you're not down here to be alone. You're not meant to be alone. So maybe it could be that you have to go 4 years beyond the time that you broke up, and then you're going to meet somebody.
Which is, yeah, because 31 is the time she had the breakup. So 4 years henceforth would be in 2020, maybe.
Yeah. So what you have to do, if we want to look at it through numerical evaluation, you'd have to go 4 years since you broke up with them. Then you're going to meet somebody. And you said it's been 3 years. So in another year, you're going to meet someone.
Or within that time. I mean, perhaps it can happen sooner. Who knows?
It could.
You, yeah,
but the
I know.
Fourth year, once it's been 4 years, that entire year is when you're going to be meeting somebody, that somewhere in the fourth year. And then you're going to meet somebody, and I perceive you're going to have children. I think you'll have at least a little girl.
Do you want kids? I've stepped away. So do you want children?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
No. Well, wait until the guy comes in. You'll make up your mind. But I see a little girl. Unless you have a niece. But I see a little girl.
No.
So I see a little girl. So what might happen is you're going to fall in love in a year. This guy will fall in love with you. You'll get married. And he'll say, let's have a baby. And you'll say, okay. That's what I think is going to happen. So you don't, you know, you're calling a radio show with psychics. And what we're saying is that your journey now, in conclusion, your journey is about a 4 year journey since your breakup. That's your master number is 4. So when you're 35, somewhere in that year, yep, the guy comes in. So don't worry about not connecting now. It's too early. It's like saying you're holding an egg and you're saying, but it's not a chicken. You're holding an egg. It hasn't happened.
Okay.
Well, somebody said, you know, I'm going to give you a chick, a little chick for your birthday, and they give you an egg. You go, this isn't a chick, but it will be when it hatches. So you could just keep yourself warm, positive. Don't freak out. Don't think about this guy anymore. Let go of him.
How are you meeting people? I mean, what is the people that you're dating? How have you encountered them?
I've probably met them at, you know, on my way out, going to the stores. I've used social media. I'm currently texting with like 2 guys right now. We're just texting. We haven't met up. And just, you know, just meeting people. And once we meet, so I don't know, just things happen. There's no chemistry there. So then we just stop talking. So I've been doing this for the past 3 years, and it's very hard on me. It's hard because I can't connect with anyone.
Well, because in your back of your mind, you haven't let go
yet.
You haven't let go yet. And you even called the show and demonstrated you haven't let go. It's an emotional still attachment to you. That could go on for one more year. I mean, unless you fight it off and get rid of it, you must be attractive if guys are hitting on you when you go out to the store. So there's some attraction. You're probably attractive on some level to a man. And you're not connecting because I don't think the time is right.
Right. Yeah, probably not. And if you're still holding on, the people that are coming in aren't going to be the right people necessarily. Once you let go, that will happen, I think.
So I have a question. If that person broke his contract with me, is that person ever going to be happy with someone else?
No. No. No, because he broke a contract. So that person, he'll probably cheat on the next girl. He won't. I mean, unless he turns his life over in some, you know, organ-inspired music, and he sees God and he changes his life, he's going to remain a prisoner to his karma, because he's not a quality human being that's authentic, that's real, that's honest, that's transparent. He does the bad deed and then he tries to make up for it by, you know, very unsatisfactory attempts. And he can fool people, but he can't fool himself. And so, no, he's not going to, I don't think he's going to be that happy. I think he'll probably, I mean, I hope he does change, but it's not my perception.
Well, and I want to say to Bernice that when you have let go, you won't even care what he's doing. I mean, understandably, you're asking that question because you're in the process of you know, cutting the ties to this person. But you're not going to care what he does once you've truly let go. That wouldn't even be a question you'd ask. So that's another, you know, sign that further detachment needed for you to move forward in a healthy relationship.
Okay. Well, I feel a lot better, and I really do hope I meet that someone in a year.
Well,
or so.
Keep in touch with us. Let us know, you know, and you're always welcome to call the show.
Follow us.
Follow us, yeah, on our Facebook page.
I will follow you guys. I will. Thank you so much. Yes,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, take good care.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Okay, so we've got a few minutes left here.
Okay. Well,
about three minutes.
Is that all? Is that all we got?
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, there's sometimes you can't control the takeoff, the astral takeoff. Your soul is going to go where it needs to go. It, especially if there's a gravitational pull. Now, sometimes what happens in the element of sleep is that as soon as the soul leaves the body, it's whisked quickly to a karmic zone because the karma is intense. And so it's almost like the soul's under surveillance, and there are agents out there, astral agents that will, like cops surveying your home. If you're under house arrest or something, if you leave, you're taken someplace. And sometimes it can be an interrogation. Sometimes it's a casual classroom and you're learning something. Sometimes you feel like you're being interrogated. Sometimes you enter, and this is really weird, you enter a realm, a really weird realm, and it's quiet. And just strange, bizarre things happen. Because what happens is there's a collision of mixed past lives, all entering onto one stage. I like to think of it as who framed Eddie Rabbit? Roger Rabbit. When he went into the...
Eddie Rabbit. He's a singer.
Oh, he is a
singer? That's so funny. Yeah, I just realized.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love a stormy
kind
night.
Of,
a
stormy yeah, night? I believe
oh,
so.
We
well,
so,
see, you're right on top of it.
So somewhere in there.
Who framed Eddie Rabbit?
Framed
I didn't know
Eddie
he was
Rabbit?
Framed.
You have to go to a stormy night to find out the details.
Right.
But, you know, I like to think of it. Who framed Eddie?
Roger.
Roger Rabbit.
And then there's
and
Eddie Money, not
Bo
to confuse
Hopkins.
You further, but
yeah.
Was Eddie Money I Love a Rainy Night or Eddie Rabbit?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Maybe
okay.
It was Money. Who was? I don't know. Doesn't matter. What matters is you enter a realm that is sometimes quite
Eddie
absurd.
Rabbit. Eddie
Am
Rabbit.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. So, and I don't even know, you know, I don't know how that came to me. That, anyways, it doesn't matter.
Well, you got, anyway, yeah.
So, you enter this realm and it's crazy, and that's kind of Looney Tunes. The astral realm is full of Looney Tunes. In fact, there's astral beings that will purposely play jokes on you out there.
Yeah.
They're pranksters. They're jokesters. They formulate into the human consciousness as, you know, leprechauns and fairies and elves and sprites and things like that. But there are elements there, and there are dangerous ones too that like to havoc. They like to provoke you. And then there are souls that are actually not in a body that once knew you.
Or not.
Well, yeah, but the ones that knew you that are seeking revenge or have a long lost love for you.
And those are those are souls on the lower astral realm that haven't like transcended. They're stuck there, or they're, you know, maybe not necessarily stuck, but they're there and maybe waiting to return to the body.
And sometimes it's a nice new meeting place for the soul to encounter people who have crossed over that were endearing and loving and family and all that. So it's a vast world, and the way to prepare for it, take a deep breath before you go and plunge.
Get an oxygen tank. Okay, we're out of time. So we're back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Have a great weekend.